My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the EDP Formula One podcast here at the Rush Cutters Public House in Norwich. It is that time of the year again, as in the end of the year, when we all descend on a pub to record this podcast. Thankfully, the delightful settings of the Rush Cutters timber beams has not inflicted masses of Christmas music on. I think I've had to deal with Michael Bublé and all sorts in the past. It's just a subtle pub ambience, which is obviously... or ambience, even, which is lovely, rather than ambulance or anything like that. I am Michael Bailey. The pod crew are with me once again. Kyle Cumbers, Richard Baxter, Stephen Rust here. Gents, everyone well? Good evening.
Very well, yeah.
Good evening.
Evening, yeah.
Happy Christmas. Yes. Too soon?
A little bit, yeah.
Get away with it. It's first December.
It is December, isn't it? We can get away with that now. Well, I think before we get fully into our season review, let's get stuck into Abu Dhabi and, of course, what happened there. Lewis Hamilton, two-time world champion. He did the business. Double points were irrelevant. Everyone was happy. And really, it was all decided, wasn't it, at the very start,
yeah.
in effect.
Yeah, it was the probably his best start ever. One of the most crucial times he's needed. So, the same before, it's just... I think I've ever seen a start like it. It was just... You saw the camera from quite low, isn't it? From early on, he thought he's got decent stuff. He thought it might be interesting the first corner, see what he does. And the time the camera sort of panned up, he was like three or four car lengths ahead, and it was like, oh, championship done pretty much from then on. Reliability was the only thing that was going to hold him back.
He almost preempted it, didn't he? Because on the parade lap, he did his practice start, and he was like, oh, that felt really good.
Yeah,
he knew it was coming.
No, it was good. It was funny, really, because they were all sort of talking about that even still now, and then sort of said, you know, sort of timed at 0.2 seconds, you know, and they're comparing it to like Usain Bolt's reaction time to being off the line and things like that.
Quite close to a jump start there, that's what we're saying.
But no, I mean, it was just ripped out of the gates, and I think that kind of summed up the championship, really, you know,
yeah.
For me.
Well, you must have been a happy man, mustn't you, after Sunday?
Ecstatic.
Big Lewis fan.
Totally ecstatic. Made my year.
And I think the right man won it, didn't he? And I think we've all kind of revelled in it a little bit, hasn't it? Britain back, with another world champion, and Lewis almost delivering on the potential we all knew he had.
Yeah, that's it. I was quite worried at the start, because I said on his parade, like we said, you know, he's a good start and everything. You know, he's all liked it. And I thought, well, Rosberg said that earlier in the season. And when it came to the race start, he went backwards. And then even during the race, I just thought, oh, no, what his luck has been like for the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just not been it gone his way, and I was just like, oh, don't tell me it's going to go all wrong last minute. But it didn't, and yeah, right man won. I was happy. It's like jumping around. Yeah,
it was a proper yeah. Go Lewis. It was brilliant stuff to see. And I suppose part of the reason why the only thing that was going to stop him was reliability was the fact that Nico's race really, having put the car on bottle and you know, put a cat amongst the pigeons, so to speak, his race Sunday was, well, awful, really, wasn't it? Probably one of the worst of the season.
Yeah, I felt a bit sorry for him, to be honest. I'm obviously a big Lewis fan myself and pleased he won, but I would have liked him to finish just behind Hamilton, or a few seconds at least. So it was a bit of a shame for him to go through that. But, well, fair dues to him. You know, he still didn't give up, even, you know, it was all going wrong, and he was still eyeing up fifth position. And then the two laps to go, and they said, retire the car. He said, no, I want to finish. I thought, yeah, good on him.
It was a classy thing, wasn't it? Because we were talking about two reps from the end. They wanted to retire it.
I don't know if that was to prevent Hamilton lapping him. I can't see why they would pull him in, because, I mean, it's the last race. What else?
Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, you're not going to save the engine for the next race or anything like that, have you? But, yeah, maybe it was just a bit standard procedure for them. But I thought it was a really nice thing for him to say, well, I want to continue going. And for them to say, no, we respect that. For all of the things that Rosberg's done this season, that's really put me off of him. I kind of gained some respect back with that sort of radio message.
Well, the fact that he also congratulated Lewis
that
over
well,
team
yeah.
radio, and he went into the green room, didn't he?
That was unfortunate we didn't get to hear that radio message, because it'd been interesting to see what he said. And
Well done, Lewis.
Yeah. I was a bit annoyed, first of all, because he got out of the car and Hamilton got out of the car and they went their own ways, and I thought, surely you should have gone up to him straight away, and I was a bit annoyed.
Well, was it difficult? Because you could see Nico in the background, couldn't you? And yeah. Lewis was about to get out of his car, and you almost saw Nico go, oh, I need to get out of the way of this. just probably because he just wanted to get out of the way of it.
Yeah, I would have thought he'd go up and just high-five him or something, say, well done, and then let him get on with his bit and...
Yes, well, you had just lost the world championship. I don't know. Yeah. Well done.
And then I said to Carl earlier, you know, I was comparing it to like a 2009. Barrichello was the first guy Button saw when he got out of his car, and Barrichello said that was important for him to be that guy because they had gone through everything together that season, and that was a, you know, really respectful kind of thing. But he's probably one of the nicest race drivers you'll ever see, isn't he, Barrichello? Yeah. So
I just wonder if it was just a plan from Rosberg during the year to be the way he was, just to try and unsettle Hamilton, and it was just a conscious plan to do anything he could, because he knew Hamilton probably is the quicker one,
which we'd all probably do, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he sort of thought, well, he's clever enough to work out that the way I've got to do this is maybe be a bit nasty.
Well, which is fair enough. People have done a lot worse.
Exactly.
Well, it's fair to say. So yeah, Nico could probably, I think he scored a few extra points with all that. I mean, it did probably ram home that in those radio messages when they were doing their final lap, what's the lap back to the pits, basically, after crossing the line.
In lap,
yeah, that's it. Paddy Lowe obviously gave his message of condolence, if you like, to Nico Rosberg, but you could hear all the celebrating in the background, which I'm sure would have registered with Nico, no matter what Paddy Lowe was actually saying. Did it live up to the tension and excitement of it? We'd said at the start, you know, everyone was saying we don't want a mechanical to decide this race, and in the end it probably didn't, because Lewis did what he needed to on the start. The tension at the start was brilliant. I think it did.
I mean, even though probably halfway through the race it was a foregone conclusion what the result was going to be, you just sort of never knew, and I think, you know, you still sort of had a bit sort of tension there. But
are you eating this evening?
No, we're just recording away. Is that all right?
That's cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
Edit that bit home.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, we might leave it in.
Can
Rush Cutter do very good food? We did pay for our drinks. Yeah, we did pay for our drinks. What were you saying? Can you remember what the question
Formula
was?
Formula One.
Yeah, it was Formula One. Yeah.
No, whether it was a sort of foregone conclusion, you know. But I think it kind of was, but I think there's still a bit of tension there because it's F1, isn't it? You don't know what's going to happen. But I think it probably half lived up to expectation, I suppose you have to say, in truth. But yeah, and nevertheless, it was still a reasonably good race, really.
Yeah, it wasn't overall. Too bad, was it?
It wasn't too bad.
I've seen worse.
I've seen worse.
A lot of action down the field as well, because there was, you know, quite a good battle with Alonso and Raikkonen as well again, and there's Button obviously trying to fight back because he lost ground at the start, then he drove an early pit stop.
Caterham obviously on the track as well. All that funny.
Yeah, Will Stevens with his nice little Alonso fight back.
Yeah,
that wasn't anything wrong then.
And who is this guy on the radio?
That's the position, wasn't it?
Exactly.
It wasn't like he dived in front of him or anything. I thought, fair enough.
And they just get complacent, these big team drivers.
Bullies.
You said it, Richard. We'll get stuck into the EDP F1 pit stops in a tick. We'll probably be the main focus of our season review. So in that case, let's do our of the weekends, shall we? So this is specifically for Abu Dhabi. Do you have a driver? Team? Are they obvious? Well, a driver, let's start at the start. Driver of the weekend.
I'm going to have to go Ricardo. For his, because I can't remember, was it 2012? Vettel came,
it's the third from the back from pit lane,
yeah, in Abu Dhabi, wasn't it? And we,
in a ridiculously dominant car.
Yeah, how amazing drive that was. And Ricardo came from the pit lane to fourth in a not as good Red Bull. So yeah, that's been my driver of the day. And Vettel was quite a way behind him as well. So
indeed, not for the first time this season. Okay, good shout.
I'd put forward Lewis just Hamilton. He won the race, won the championship, and he had an awesome start, which was great.
Kept it all together.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one. I mean, you just sort of lean towards Hamilton, really. I mean, it's a big pressure for Phil Day, really, isn't it? But a lot of other people. I mean, Ricardo, like you said, there had a very good race, but I suppose you've got to kind of really give it to Hamilton, really, haven't you? I mean, he could have completely slipped up and lost it throughout out of his own, you know, own making. So, yeah, I suppose you had to give it to Hamilton. That's a guess, really.
How about goats then? I was going to give it to Nico because he left his start and that was it. But was someone more deserving of completely ballsing up the weekend of the Saturday?
I don't know, because all the people who retired, it was just mechanical issues.
Yeah.
They didn't really do anything wrong. The only people I can point at is Sauber, because they still didn't get any points on the board. And in the end, finished behind Marussia, or whatever happens with them next season, I don't know where the money goes. But really, Sauber, with where they finished previous seasons, 2012 especially, they should have been higher up, really.
I want to say old Magnussen, really.
Mm.
When, you know, he's had a poor few races now. To finish 11th when Button was 5th, and quite a way behind, and probably needing a good race.
Does he though?
I don't. Yeah. I don't know. Could be. Yeah. Could be anywhere else. But that's probably a bit combination of the last few races as well. But I thought he had a poor weekend.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Steve would agree with that as well. Team Williams.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I think we'll talk more about them in a minute, I'm sure. Highlight?
I mentioned it, Will Stevens coming back on a Alonso. That's just awesome. Who does that? It's just like, I can't remember how old he is. He's only young. It's his first ever Grand Prix. And when you've got Alonso with all his class there, and he just comes sailing back up the inside, it's just like, what? I was just like, yeah, go on. Just cheering him on.
It was brilliant. It was good. Not a bad thing to do on your debut Grand Prix.
It might have been Prince Harry. I just was tremendously British.
It's just a shame that he said his message before he got introduced, so it was all in the wrong order when they broadcast it, really, wasn't it? But
well, apparently they did introduce him. That was one of the questions in the interview, because obviously we don't get all of the radio feeds, but apparently they did sort of say, we've got Prince Harry here.
Yeah.
He wants to have a few words after the team congratulated him and they passed him over.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, it was broadcast all the way around, though, wasn't it?
It was.
Prince Harry first, then the team saying, Here's Prince Harry.
Well, yeah, good old His Royal Highness making an appearance. Yeah. It's good for him. My highlight was rather abstract. It was Pastor Maldonado's engine blowing out, and suddenly the director cut to a picture of all the Lotus mechanics who were busy laughing about it. So it's good to see that they get properly entertained by an engine being blown out properly. Okay then, let's wrap up 2014, shall we, our final podcast of the year, with some EDP F1 pit stops. Right, well, I suppose we should just work down the Constructors' Championship order, I think. Start at the top. Mercedes, their season was quite good.
Yeah, not bad, was it?
I guess Lewis saw that coming a couple of years ago. They spent the most money. They could tie in the engine with the chassis.
Yeah, spent the most time on it. All the rumours a couple of years ago that Mercedes engine, or power package, whatever you want to describe it as, was the best.
Two best drivers?
One of the best.
Best partnership.
I'd say they worked best as a team, ultimately, because there was a couple of points where obviously there was tension, like Spa, for example, but there was never like the fallout between like where Webber and Vettel had a couple of seasons back. There was never that kind of massive fallout. So yeah, I'd say they were the best teammates.
Yeah, they sort of kept it together, didn't they? Just about, even though
we
wrote so much and so much was written about how on the edge it was.
Sort of team management wise, they sort of did keep it together, to be honest. And there's only one bit contact during the year, which was Spa, wasn't it? Can't lock them for that.
I mean, it wasn't like recent years, you know, when it's sort of, we haven't really had teammates competing for the championship for a little while now, because you think when Vettel was winning it, Webber was never really there as such, you know, he was kind of more or less battling someone else in a different car. So I think probably actually on that note, probably two of the best drivers, or as a team. Yeah, I would go with that.
And it'll be those two again next year, won't it? And if the engines don't change, which I presume they're not going to change,
not much now. I think. And then anyway, I think they can. It's also, well, we can find an extra 60, 70 horsepower.
Mm.
They can improve on what they've got, you know. So.
So okay, I mean, Lewis could do it again, couldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he can be
yeah.
Three-time world champion. So.
I thought it was interesting what Rosberg said in one of the interviews. I can't remember if it was directly after Abu Dhabi or after that, but he sort of said that, you know, the standard of driving that Lewis is at is at a very high level, and he just sort of said, I just can't really compete against that. He didn't sort of say, I couldn't really compete over the season, but, you know, I'll try harder next season or work harder for next season. He just said, I can't compete with it.
I think,
and that just summed it up for me. So I think really it's in Lewis, or it's Lewis's to lose.
If they're on top of the car, it makes me think about when Sebastian won his first championship and then the second one, he just took them all apart. And
yeah,
you could see Lewis doing that. Very interesting. Let's move it on to Red Bull, shall we? Just before we do that, Mark Webber had a bit of an accident, didn't he, in his Porsche in the supercars.
Yeah.
But he seems to be okay. He was in hospital, but okay.
I did see a clip of it. It looked horrible
at
the time, but he apparently was waving when he got into as he get transported into the ambulance.
It's always a good sign.
Yeah, and I mean, he's fine. I think a bit of concussion in the end, but yeah, there was. I think he had an accident there in F1. I can't remember when it was, but Alonso got involved as well, didn't he? That's sort of up there, isn't it?
I was thinking you were going to say the one where he took off.
Oh, no.
Valencia.
He's had a few then.
Well, let's not list them. But well, get well soon.
Yeah.
Mark, obviously. Red Bull. Now, from a starting point of dire consequences, and Daniel Ricciardo, I've submitted now. Daniel Ricciardo, you know, not expecting to finish races, let alone win them.
Mm.
He had a brilliant season, took Sebastian apart, probably forced him out of the team. and Red Bull still finished second in the constructors' championship.
I mean, the tests and stuff, and you're reading from then and seeing the little clips, they were struggling to put half a dozen laps together, and they sort of, they're turning up in Australia saying, if we get through the race, this will be a bonus. And Ricciardo puts it on the front row in Australia, gets a podium, which obviously was then taken
off. Illegal! but
a few times happened to Red Bull this year. But,
From
the position they were in before Australia, to finish second and win three races, it was a hell of a season, really. And, like I say, Ricciardo sort of maybe put question marks against the Vettel era of world championships, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, if for a man who is a four-time world champion and supposedly so good, he really shouldn't have finished so far behind his teammate this year, should he?
No, it's you know, I mentioned it earlier in an earlier podcast earlier in the season, but it just kind of showed to me his talent's almost quite narrow. It's he might prove me wrong now, Vettel, but it seems as though his talent works for one certain design of car, which it did, you know, from 2010 to 2013. But when it comes to, you know, more control over the throttle because it's got more power and everything, he's found it's, you know, more tougher. And he didn't win a race this year, and Ricciardo did, and
didn't look like winning a race either, did he?
No. And I think that's ultimately why he's probably decided to leave for next season, because he struggled a bit and realised maybe he's not the main man and Red Bull are going to back someone else if he's winning.
I think quite what it's going to be like for Sebastian Vettel and Ferrari next year, I have no idea. I think it does Daniel Ricciardo a favour, to be honest, because I think they'll have Daniel Kvyat coming in. We'll keep Ricciardo on his toes, won't it? It's not like he's going to be complacent the fact that he's hammered Vettel this year. He knows that he's now got to put someone else in his place. So that will, I think that will do him a favour. Are they likely to miss Adrian Newey more next year than they did this year? Because I suppose it's another year and being further away from the Formula 1.
I don't think he's had much input into next year's car.
Whereas he would have had, even then, he would have had some input in
from this year gone by. But I mean, he's also, his right-hand man's left to McLaren. Peter, someone or other I can't pronounce. Mark's are trying to pronounce that. so you would tend to sort of think that maybe the two best
appearing in design departments of Formula One, you know, have gone separate ways, so to speak, and, you know, we're perhaps Renault maybe still struggling a little bit with the power unit, not having the biggest budget, etc. I mean, Red Bull could even be a midfield team.
Possible.
It'll be a big test for the whole company, so to see how much new he was an influence. I think they'll still be pretty strong.
Yeah. Kyle's not buying any of it, you can tell.
Yeah, because he was the third chap, wasn't he? He was on his way to McLaren, wasn't he? And then he pulled out because I can't remember his name now. He pulled out because Peter, Mr. P, as we'll call him, was going there, so he wanted to get away from him. So, yeah, be interesting to see what foundations Nui's left for him when he eventually leaves. So, but they've got a huge budget, Red Bull, and you imagine they'll be. I also think they'll be pretty strong.
Yeah, they'll be short of money. I suppose they need to just work on these flexible wings, make sure that
yeah.
If they're
less
illegal
cut, yeah.
Obviously, everyone's doing it, so that's alright.
I do wonder if the FIA were like, been waiting years and years to get to just find something, and then it's found at the end. It's like, yes, we've finally got something.
5 years too late. Years too late.
Martin Whitmarsh was going on about that in 2012, wasn't he? Flexing front rings and all that.
I think even Christian Horner was like, well, yeah, but, you know, come on, we didn't do it for 4 or 5 years. Or Christian Halliwell, as Mike Gascoigne calls him on Twitter, which is always quite amusing. Williams, most improved team of the year. You could almost possibly argue the team of the year.
Yeah, was it ninth they were last year? I think. And to come, I mean, they had the benefit of the Mercedes engine, but you could argue that was a decision well made. But I think the car was quick. They made some good sort of technical appointments, like Smedley and Pat Simmons, and I just hope they can keep going. They've got the budget to keep going.
Yeah, that's the big thing, isn't it? Yeah. Building. I mean, because, you know, McLaren, Force India, also had Mercedes engines too, and they really blew them away, didn't they?
If they can beat McLaren, they've probably got at least double the budget, and they've had a hell of a season.
And they obviously want to. Claire Williams says, "Oh yeah, we've got to build on this. We've got to improve on it." But that is the big thing, isn't it? We've seen great seasons from Lotus, and then like 2 years ago, and then goodness me, what on earth did they do this year? So how are they going to make sure they've got the same driver lineup, which is a good start, and they're not going to change engines or anything like that, so should be easy enough to build on it.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have more prize money from this year, you know, to reinvest, you know, so that is one plus for them. I mean, they're out of probably one of the top teams, you say they've got the smallest budget, and, you know, to be spending probably half of what McLaren does, which is the nearest sort of team, I guess, with a Mercedes engine, to outdo them quite fair and squarely is a hell of an achievement, you know. It shows that obviously they're putting their resources in the right areas and so forth. For another team to be spending double and not even getting anywhere close says it all, really, doesn't it? I think terrific season for them. Good to see them back.
It'll be really interesting because, I mean, if you look at 2012, for example, they won a race with Maldonado in Spain. And they're getting points quite consistently. Then they dropped off towards the end of the season. This season they haven't done that. No, it was 2012 when I went into 2013. I had a terrible car. And it'll be interesting to see, will that be a repeat? Will they just have a terrible car again and not really get anywhere? Or will they be able to pull something out of the bag? But hopefully, you know, we all know Williams from the 90s, particularly for winning races and dominating it a lot. So hopefully they'll be able to get back to their old ways and do well.
Certainly seems more of a settled setup. Pat Simmons there and all that sort of stuff. It feels like they have everything they can to build on it. So from the most improved team to the biggest letdown, possibly Ferrari. What a dog of a season! Basically enough to see the end of Fernando Alonso at Maranello. One of the most highly anticipated drivers pairings was a disaster. Kimi Raikkonen might as well not turned up for most of the races because he's just so anonymous.
Did he have enough ice cream for the season?
I don't know.
Put in the fridge.
Did he have more ice creams than overtakes? That's the question. They've got a new team principal again, haven't they, now for next year?
7 months after their last one.
I mean, what's going on? And
it's just a
what on earth is Sebastian Vettel going to do there next year? I can't see it myself. I know it's Ferrari,
I think the only reason why probably Vettel went there is because it is a manufacturing team. And there's, even though they've been one of the rather poorest of them all, really,
There's still potential there. You know,
could he have just bought a Ferrari if he'd wanted one? You know, is there a ban on him buying a Ferrari?
Yeah, they've got a funny statement from Hamilton. He said this week that he's got no interest in driving for the red team, as he described it. He goes, I can buy a red Mercedes if I want.
So, well, I do wonder. Maybe just wants to own one, and he can't. And you know, Infinity won't let him own one. I don't know if he's at Red Bull, but I mean that. If he wants to go about proving how good a racer he is next year, he's going to get that, isn't he?
I think, I don't know. Is it the German, you know, the young lad looking up to Michael Schumacher and seeing what he did at Ferrari, or
he did mention that in an interview, didn't he?
Yeah, so. Maybe he's worried about Ricciardo. I don't. Yeah.
I think it'll probably be a couple of years before you see Ferrari starting to make inroads to get him back to the front. But, I mean, you could argue they've been trying to do that for probably about 5 years and have just either not gone any further forward or in some cases gone a little bit backwards.
Well, Fernando is there to get his third title, isn't he? And
yeah.
He'd been aching for that.
I think the last time they were actually competitive was 2010. When he did nearly win it, but I mean they were a little bit up and down throughout the season. It was probably Alonso's more consistency that got it, but apart from that, I mean they haven't really been at the front since 2008 when Lewis won his first title. So
it was a good stat. So it's the first time that Ferrari and McLaren, I can't remember, maybe someone else hadn't won a race in a year since like 1959 or something. Jeez. I'd have to check that stat, but it was a very long time and something much of a surprise.
The advantage they have got is James Allison. I think this is his first full year and his record at Lotus was quite impressive.
Well, the Lotus missed him this year.
Yeah,
I think that
was
obvious.
On a small budget, so with a big budget, I don't know, that could be a better chassis and aerodynamics, but I think their engine is just awful.
Well, that's the thing, isn't
they
it?
I think they also got for this years of just people blaming other people, the engine department's rubbish, or this and that. And
well, they in the sort of the Adrian Newey Red Bull dominance, I mean, they're probably one of their biggest mistakes is they decided to sack their chief designer, who then went straight to Mercedes. And he was the guy who designed most of Schumacher's championship-winning cars at Ferrari. And Mercedes just snapped him up straight away, and look at what the result is.
Maybe someone else should snap him up. McLaren, then. Now, McLaren actually did better than last year? Did they?
I'd say they did. I think they did.
Do we think? Now, this is obviously a comment on the fact of how bad things have got recently, but did they? Were they worse last year? I was saying just as bad.
I think the same. I don't think they really moved any further forward. I don't think it would be fair to say they were worse.
They got better as the season went on.
They had a good start in Australia, didn't they? Because it turned out, because Button and Magnussen both got the podium in the end. So
but that was it, really, wasn't it?
And then first half of the season, the rest of it was just nothing. But second half, Button particularly stepped up, and he was getting fourth and fifth quite a few times. But that's because he was fighting for his drive, so he had something to fight for. But I think if that wasn't the situation, I wouldn't have thought we'd see him top half of the top ten. Makes it top five, I believe you said.
I suppose it was always going to be a very difficult year for McLaren, wasn't it? With an engine that they knew they weren't going to have next year, and some Honda obviously coming in.
Yeah, they were sort of in sort of no man's land, sort of season wise, because I don't think they're getting a great deal of help from Mercedes. Understandable, because Honda people were sitting there waiting for that information. So, but now today, sacked Whit Marsh at the start of the year. sort of Ferrari style.
Sam Michael's going, isn't he?
Yeah.
Or is he gone?
He's retiring.
Retiring?
Yeah, he's gone back to Australia. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah,
spent time with his family.
retiring?
Yeah.
Well, is he not like 25? He looks about 25.
No, he's
must be 40s.
Is he?
Yeah, easy.
He's got enough money in the bank, why not?
Jeez.
You know, on his wages, he should retire about 25.
Yeah, that's true. 2 years of work.
I mean, the car looked rubbish as well. No sponsors, was there? I mean, McLaren driving around with no sponsors. And
well, that's a very strange thing, isn't it? Yeah. When McLaren can't get a title sponsor.
Because especially when they announced they would be announcing I think it was this time last year, wasn't it? They'd be announcing a title sponsor and nothing happened. And I think they're going to struggle next year. Honda are coming in and their test during the Abu Dhabi test post last race didn't go too well. They're going to have the same problems that all these Mercedes.
Yeah, going to be Renault, a year Ferrari behind. Head,
and they've only been doing it for a year, haven't they? Mercedes have been building this engine since 2010. So, one day SNL is going to be a winning partnership. I can't see it.
Not yet. No. Years to come. I mean, you have to sort of say there's probably potential there, but not next season. Nor I can't even really see the season after that, to be honest.
Who's driving for them next year?
Not Button. I'm sad to say.
It is definitely Alonso. We know that much.
Yeah.
With him?
I think it'll be Magnussen. At the end of the Abu Dhabi race, Button was there and he did a few donuts. We just saw a glimpse of it on camera. And I thought that reaction shows it. He knows it was his last race. And unfortunately, he's just saying a bit of a goodbye. And yeah, it's a shame because he's performed well, but I think his age is against him, to be honest.
Yeah, Magnussen.
Magnussen?
Yeah. I keep mentioning a fourth driver, don't they? And Van Dorn is obviously there a possibility, but Magnussen beat Van Dorn in not last year, it was the year before in the Formula 3.5, so the same age, so I can't see if they choose Magnussen a year ago ahead of Van Dorn, why are you going to change it now?
Which I would very much agree with. Let's rattle through the others, shall we? At Force India, they did pretty well, I suppose.
Started well, anyway.
Yeah, they dropped away a lot, didn't they?
Yeah.
Did drop away a lot. Nico Hülkenberg was fairly quiet the second half of the season. But then I suppose they all were, really.
Yeah, he sort of followed Force India's sort of season. He sort of decent start and then fell away, really. I mean, they had the Bahrain podium, didn't they, for Perez. But if you look at it, just comparing to McLaren, they were 26 points behind. So they said at the start of the season you'd be 6 points behind McLaren. They said, decent season.
Basically, they're their customer team, aren't they?
It turned out, I think, Button's fifth place in Abu Dhabi actually saved McLaren dropping behind them, or something, dropping behind Force India. So, I mean,
fair enough.
That's quite
that's not bad, is it?
Good job he's done for the team. Yeah. He's leaving as well.
Given the budget that Force India are on. Interesting that Hülkenberg will race in Le Mans next year.
Yeah, I think it's good. It's good for Formula 1 and for the World Endurance Championship. I can't see why Formula 1 drivers can't go and race in other things. I mean, there's rumours that when Hamilton was at McLaren, that Hamilton and McLaren could do an Australian V8 supercar race. But why not, you know?
One fear I have is Kubica, of course. You remember went into a rally, didn't he? And he suffered that terrible accident. Le Mans seems to be much safer, even though there was a guy who died there last year.
Just have its moments.
It's motorsport, you can't ever put anything down for certain.
No. Well, I'm sure he'll enjoy it. If I was a racing driver, I'd definitely want to race Le Mans. Why not do it? Lotus. Abysmal.
Terrible.
Yeah, no other word for it. They still got points, though, which is remarkable.
But they were fourth, weren't they, in the and I think Raikkonen was third in the Drivers' Championship last year. Roman will be there next year. They both will be, won't they? I think
it's been announced. But it's just such a shame they're sort of swapped with Williams in a way, haven't they?
Yeah, they are going to have Mercedes engines from next year, which I guess they'll be hoping makes a big difference.
I just hope they've still got some decent people that can design a car there.
Well, the thing about, I feel a bit sad for Enzo because they do seem to be the ones who try things different. They tried to do different things. They did the front-facing exhausts, and obviously we had the twin tusk nose. So they do try these things. It's just normally they're not very good. So maybe they shouldn't. I don't know.
Does anyone know why the nose was longer on one side than the other?
It was for the rules. It was to meet the regulations of certain points from the chassis.
So why did they not just do both to make it?
I mean, I always wondered if they had if it helped having one of the tusks longer than the other. Maybe if it was a clockwise track, it had to be the right one that was longer. I don't know. It should never have worked.
Clearly, it's not really a very groundbreaking design, is it?
Given
their performance,
it's the sort of thing a 5-year-old would have come up with in a competition, and they still wouldn't have made it. That's the thing. All right, well, we can hope for better from Lotus. And Marussia, then, in ninth in the Constructors' Championship, their first points, but probably the last we'll see of them, which is a shame. As we were discussing before, it probably would have been worth more as a team than Caterham.
Yeah, I mean, first half of the year, obviously Bianchi's 2 points at Monaco is looking to be, you know, a great season for him. Obviously the Bianchi accident, which is a shame, and still hope he pulls through. And obviously then the administration at the end, it all sort of real highs of Monaco midway through the season and then just a big steep slope.
They did have
I mean, it was a shame really, because it seemed as a team they were of one of the small teams that came in around that period, they were sort of making reasonable strides ahead of the others. I mean, they got a tie-up with McLaren where they used their wind tunnel, you know, and a few other little good bits and pieces, you know, and it seemed that they were probably making the most progress out of those teams. But it was a bit of a surprise, really, all of a sudden, to just find, because you know, normally you sort of, you hear rumours or you know that there's some sort of you know, announcement or indication, but it was just all of a sudden they're not going to be here.
Yeah, they just went almost off the back of Caterham, wasn't it, in the end. There was good news about Jules Bianchi, wasn't there, over the last few days. He's been repatriated to France, is that right?
Yeah.
I think he's breathing on his own. And obviously I think there'll be a lot of thoughts with Jules and his family over the winter, and hopefully when we're back there'll be much happier news too, and fingers crossed. Sauber, dear Lord, I mean, for a small team that worked wonders in the past, I mean, this was a fundamental disaster, really, not a single point. In Sutil and Gutierrez, probably one of the weakest partnerships on the grid, and that will be completely changing. Who have they got next year?
Ericsson and Nasr, the Williams test driver.
So not much stronger next year then. Maybe Felipe Nasr, isn't it, rather than Felipe Massa.
He's been at the front of GP2 for a few years, but I think it took him a while to win a race, so he brings a big check.
as does Ericsson. I think he's got a huge backing.
Nasr came second in GP2 this year, so he's no mug, but it took him a while to get there. So
it's funny, isn't it, how obviously we had two new teams come into the sport in 2010 expecting to join the midfield. It's almost now becoming clear that the midfield are actually regressing, and at the point where we're joining them. I mean, Marussia obviously finished higher than Sauber. Team in where the sport's probably overtaking their means at the moment, we'll see. And finally, Caterham, who did race. The crowdfunding worked, would you have believed it? I think, was it Finbar O'Connell, the administrator?
Yes,
I think he had fun being team principal, didn't he? He enjoyed that. You could tell that. That was like, ooh, look at me, being team principal. I'm the administrator, I'm going to be team principal. He's still hopeful of selling the team somehow.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just got a funny suspicion that they probably will find a buyer. You know, probably
do you know something, Steve? You put
no,
a bid
I don't,
in, couple of quid, 20 quid.
You get some bots.
Yeah.
You know, but I just get a feeling that they'll find someone, and you know, in some sort of fashion, they'll be there on the grid in 2015. Which, you know, I really hope so, for a team that is still kind of local to us.
Well, it's got the links, hasn't it? The past links, and it would obviously be great, I think, as well, if we had Caterham racing again. We'll have to see.
I did hear today that there's confirmation they're allowed to use this year's car next year as well.
Indeed.
So,
is that a good thing? We were trying to talk about that, weren't we? You know, the car wasn't very good this year. No, everyone else would have had new, better cars. But it's something, I suppose.
Yeah, if it allows investors to come in and they can build towards 2016 while being on the grid, then it will be a good thing. But if they fall away this time again next year, then what's the point?
Fair enough. Yeah.
And who are they going to have as drivers as well? Because most of the grid's confirmed, and it's just them, if they're back, there's them to decide, isn't it?
Oh, we might get another Brit on the grid.
Yeah, Will Stevens.
Yeah, which might be a bit lacking next year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or Jensen will be free.
Yeah.
You might fancy it. Bad news, we've not had much comeback on our own crowdfunding suggestions, I'm afraid. The £1.5 million, whatever it was we were trying to raise, we've not really had a lot come in. I mean, I haven't really worked on it either, but it's not looking good. I'm going to be honest, really.
Monaco's going to have to wait then.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of interest in your hoodie or anything, which is just Does anyone have any awards for the end of season awards? Best driver, I suppose we're going to say Lewis, and best team Mercedes, but anything else?
Best looking car? Can we think of a... Well, it's got to be Williams for me.
Yeah,
apart from the nose. But
the Martina livery on the Williams was awesome.
Are these noses going to look different next year?
Yeah, they've got to
change the wheels.
Got to look a bit more like the Mercedes.
See, that's nice. I thought Mercedes was a nice looking car personally.
Yeah, because I mean the noses have, that's the first thing that we sort of all commented on, I suppose, really at the start, is, you know, how ugly most of them looked, and you know Mercedes was probably the more the prettier one, I suppose, at the front. But I must admit, I do like the Williams livery. You know, it's very retro. It harks back to, I'm going to guess, what, 80s, 90s?
Something like that.
Something around that area.
Classics. Best race? Could be better race.
Bahrain.
yeah.
Which we didn't know, and we didn't like the track, but Bahrain, did we?
Not the last.
That was a really, really good race. It was just one of the, it was so gripping, you just didn't know. Straight after that safety car, you know, everybody sort of thought it was going to be Rosberg overtake him. Yeah, and it was just lap after lap after lap. You know, it's brilliant.
And even, it's going to sound bad, but even crashes. When you watch Formula 1, people like to see, you know, a bit of a crash, as long as no one's hurt anyway. Yeah. And when we saw, I think it was Gutierrez, he flipped over, didn't he, after Maldonado.
Someone scooped him up, didn't they?
Yeah. And that was, you're like, whoa, he's flipped over. But when he gets out and he's just kind of walking away and it's, whoa, what was that?
Yeah.
And it's that kind of reaction, you think, okay, now, you know, it kind of hooks you. And it's weird how that kind of thing happens, because it's almost adrenaline, I suppose, pumping as you see something crazy has happened. And
yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I agree with Bahrain. But I think it's been quite, we've got a few good races this year. I think it's been a good season overall. I mean, we've had the inter-team arguments, obviously Mercedes and the battles there. I mean, one team has dominated, but it's still been a really good season. And engine noise as well, I think I've sort of got used to that now. And
do
I thought that was a bit of a misnomer, really. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I noticed sort of a third of the way through the season, they basically jumped up the volume on the engine noises on the TV. Mm, you could tell that when the car started to come through, and then all they did was turn the volume up. That was fine.
When they're in the pit lane, like last season, for example, when an engine starts up, they say, oh, we're going to move because we can't hear ourselves. And they did it again this season.
Yeah.
Towards the end. So it's like, well, you've obviously done something there.
But I went to Silverstone and I actually quite enjoyed the being slightly not as loud, because you could hear what was going on. You could hear tires screeching. You have crowds as well, which was a huge part of this year. So yeah, I'm quite happy with the noise, the way it is.
See, love it really. We always love it in the end. We always love it in the end. Okay, well, let's wrap up this year then with the big one, shall we? The one we all care about. Must firstly say thanks to all of our guys who've contributed over the course of the season, which is obviously great. We couldn't do it without these guys. And they lay it on the line with their predictions, don't you, gents? And so do I, has to be said. So, the final round, Abu Dhabi, which was, of course, as I said, double points. I inflicted double points on all of you. It got Steve a bit twitchy. I predicted that Rosberg would win the race, so that wasn't a good start. That Vettel would be on the podium. The front wing didn't help that. That Button would finish ahead of Magnussen, which he did. That Grosjean would be first out, which he wasn't. And that Caterham would have at least one classified finish, which they did in Will Stevens. I felt that was quite a nice one to get. So that's not a bad one for me. Carl, you said Hamilton would be on pole, which he wasn't. You said he'd win, which he was. You say Rosberg would qualify P2, which he didn't. And you said he'd finish P2, which he didn't, sadly. Bottas, you said, would be P3.
Yeah.
Well done. And you said Alonso would be first out, which he got a kudos point for. You said that Max Chilton would race in the Caterham, which is a good shout. Sadly, didn't come off. Richard, you said you went all specific, all over. Steve said there'd be three retirements. I don't think there was a two in the end. No, one.
No, there was three. Kobayashi, Maldonado, and Kvyat.
Were there three in the end? Oh, right.
Per the Bible.
Okay, well, I've just got quickly on the calculator. Yes, Richard, so three retirements, you said, which you were correct, although the three you said you didn't get right, which was Raikkonen, Maldonado, you did get right, and Gutierrez. You said Vettel would be on the podium, which would have looked good had he not started from the pit lane, probably. You said that the person who won the race would be the world champion, which is a good little one, and that proved right. And he said the two Toro Rossos would contact at turn one on lap one. No, I'm pretty sure that didn't happen, because no one said it did, and I did try and check. And Steve, you said that it would be a Mercedes 1-2 in qualifying. He said that Magnussen and Button would be in Q3, which was wrong.
Well, technically, yes, it was wrong, but they did actually start in the top 10 thanks to the penalties.
Yeah, yeah, they did. Yeah, you're right, but they didn't get through to Q3. I like your point, but no. Bottas, who you said would be on the podium, you said there wouldn't be a safety car, and you said Vettel would finish ahead of Alonso, which I think happened just about in the end, didn't it?
Yeah.
4 out of 5 right. Yeah.
Awesome.
With double points. So, in reverse order, double points, and I should include that this includes also the preview predictions at the start of the season, where me, Kyle, Steve and Ped predicted the drivers and constructors champions. We all said Hamilton would win the drivers championship at the start of the season, and we all said Mercedes would win the constructors championship, apart from Ped, who said it would be Red Bull.
Oh, really?
So it means that in ninth place was Sam Todd 15 off of Twitter, who chucked in a couple of tweets, realised that we make it look really easy compared to how hard it is. Mav was in 8th, Dave Tillier was 7th, John Luton, who made one set of predictions, was 6th, and will hopefully be back with us next year. Ped was 5th. Was he defending champion, Ped? Wasn't he? Yeah, he was. Defending champion, Ped, finished only 5th. Sorry, Ped. So we haven't seen him for a while.
It's a Sebastian Vettel.
I think he's ditched us for another podcast. 4th was Richard on your debut effort with only 10 predictions, so only sort of half the season almost. Good healthy 4th position. Carly were 3rd. Nice consistent performance from yourself. I was 2nd, which is my best performance in. No, I was 2nd last year as well. So there you go, I am consistent. And I didn't even fiddle with the algorithm to cheat this time. And the winner with double points and a total of 54% of your predictions were correct this year, Steve. Which is the highest ever percentage, regardless of algorithms. Steve, well done. You are the new Oracle.
Yeah, man.
Thank you very much.
Modest tapping of the table. Your prize is our respect and a lot of pressure on your predictions next year. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Not really.
Excellent, there we go. No real surprise.
Best acceptance speech ever.
Yeah, I think. Thank God for not going on 10 minutes. All right, I think that's it for 2014 Formula 1. All done. We enjoyed it.
It's been a good year.
Double British champion for the first time since Jackie Stewart.
Elite club.
Exactly, yeah.
Jackie Stewart, and Jim Clark.
I noticed he had no particular words of positivity.
Who?
Jackie Stewart.
Did he not?
No. He never actually really congratulated Lewis as such. He just came out with a load of sort of things of, you know, he's got to do this, he's got to do that, and all this sort of stuff.
Well, maybe he needs a couple more tights.
But then I've always had a bit of a gripe against Jackie Stewart anyway. So.
I thought we should mention the British dominance in GP2. Palmer.
Yes.
Alex Lynn won GP3.
Indeed.
Andy Davidson, World Endurance champion as well. So
we are on British top of the world. Yeah. Right. We need to get all these guys in there, really, don't we?
We should be very proud, I think, of British motorsport this year. It's been a good year.
It has been. And it's just been a bit of a shame locally. We've kind of lost all our connections. But, yeah, indeed. Well said, Kyle. What a lovely fitting note to talk on. Plus the table next to us have got some food, and it's only going to make us hungry. Thanks to the Rush Cutters for letting us grab a table in the corner and waffle on for a bit. Thank you, gents, for all your time and efforts over the course of the year. It's, of course, much appreciated, and we will do it again come the spring. Thanks to you all for listening, for your tweets, your emails, for getting in touch, getting involved, and hopefully again we'll do it all again from next year. Testing starts, is it
1st of February?
First of February.
It's not quite in January.
No, so that helps a little bit.
Yeah. So you've got 2 months at least.
2 month break. Oh, I can enjoy the football then, can't I? Great. Now, that will really keep me preoccupied. Yes, thanks again. It's been a fantastic year of Formula One action, a fantastic year for the podcast. Grown again, and we will continue to do that next year. Just a final thing to say, edp24.co.uk/F1, which will have the latest news that we have in terms of local links. We'll keep you up to date on Caterham and what have you, and Lotus, of course. Also, my column, you can read all the editions of my column back through the year, and they will be there for next year as well. And we'll have blogs from these guys hopefully over the course of the winter too. Kyle, we've got your one up, I think I put that up, didn't I, over the other day. Rich, I've got one of yours still to go up, so that's going to go up very shortly, and we've had the first of yours up as well, which is great.
I will try to do one, but I'm very busy with a lot
that's
of other
fine.
Things at the moment.
You've got 2 months.
Yeah. Right.
So we'll get Steve, and if any of you guys want to get in touch and get involved, then you know how to do it. You can do it on Twitter at EDPF1, or you can get hold of me at Michael J. Bailey. You can't get hold of Steve on Twitter. And can they get hold of you in any way, Steve, other than sort of waiting for you in the streets?
They could email me. I guess you could try to find me on Facebook.
Excellent.
you could email me, stephenrust@hotmail.com, with a PH, no underscores or anything like that.
Very nice.
So you ask me a question on there, and I'll try and find you in the junk folder, as you will be added to my contacts until you have a first message.
You really do sell it, Steve. I love it. That is the attitude of a winner. We can't match that. These two are on Twitter, so there's no junk folder there, thankfully. Kyle
at @kcumbers.
Richard
@bax_kid.
Brilliant stuff. So get in touch. Thanks again, and enjoy your winter, enjoy Christmas and the new year. We will see you in the spring. Keep an eye out, edp24.co.uk/F1 podcast. We'll see you in 2015. Until then, bye for now.